This is Ed Mankey with a Green Lantern Corps cast. Drink more vodka.
Carlton has some questions for you.
All right. For many people, there's advantages and disadvantages of working on a comic for so long, but for you, what is your favorite part about drawing a series like Green Lantern for so long?
Well, the funny thing is, I don't feel like I've been on it that long. Like, because of the, I don't know, maybe it's the product of being as old as I, I'm not an aging person, don't get me wrong, but, to me, 4 years... going on 4 years is not as big of a deal as I would have thought in the past. I was like, oh, whoa, look at my watch, time flew. But the nice part is putting together these collections and these story arcs and being able to look at them and say, oh yeah, look what I did here. So I literally can now at least go back and look at stuff. And it's not that I forget what I've done, but I can go back and reference and examine what has happened over the last several years and go, oh yeah, that was great. I'm pleased with this. And, oh, that's how I did this. And, I actually have a body of reference that I can look at and draw from that I've already done. That's one of the things that I've enjoyed about doing it. And, just sometimes, maybe some people walk into a character and they think, yeah, I was born to do this, and this is exactly how I want to do it. But I think with Hal, especially, over time, I learned more of what I'm doing with the character and, how to approach it. Putting something like Atrocitus in my hands, yeah, that's totally natural. It's like, yeah, I know what to do with this. But, with Hal, it was a little different and just how to apply yourself there and to feel like I've done it right and, to be confident that when I walk away from this, that I'll have successfully drawn Hal Jordan and whatever other Green Lantern material comes with the books. I think that's what I like about doing it for as long as I've done it at this point.
I can definitely see the advantage of being able to look back at a large body of work, see where you've evolved, see where you've been, see if you want to go back to something or to something entirely different.
Yeah, and mostly what I see when I go back, of course, is, I've loosened up where Hal is concerned, when you walk into a character, the first thing I always feel is some degree of intimidation because, all these people have done it before and this is what it looked like. It wasn't, well, I can't wait to make Hal Jordan my own. I want to try to make sure that I don't disappoint. And that, the fans have a nice fluid time accepting the new art and moving into it. On the other hand though, once that I got over that and then I realized, well, I've been doing this again and again and again, then there's far less, trepidation and an easiness of drawing these characters. And, you draw characters, you get to really know them and you get comfortable with them, like I enjoy. I freely admit, I enjoy drawing Sinestro. It's a lot of fun to draw Sinestro. I've pulled Sinestro through a few different emotional ranges, drawing the flashback of, when he's holding his wife in his arms if she's dead, like that. It's like, well, I got to put a lot of work into that because I really wanted that shot to have a dramatic impact. So stuff like that, You know, I really eventually, you know, once complete comfort is set in and you really get to work with characters or, you know, like work with, you know, like develop Hal and Carol a little bit and, you know, at least the opportunities that I've had so far, you know, that's fun, you know, to make these characters do and work in your visual universe is to the best of your ability.
Well, one thing I actually wanted to ask was, of all the work you've done in like the last few issues, what would you say is the one page that's just your favorite?
One page that's just my favorite? Actually, I was looking at it today because I was going through some art, and it's a two-page spread, and it's when Sinestro. It must have been from, I think it. Yeah, was it from the beginning of the relaunch? It was either that issue. Where Hal gets the ring back, and he turns, and he's off-panel of Sinestro, and he's just blasting away at Sinestro. Of course, it doesn't do anything, because Sinestro's got the ring programmed not to do it, but it was really a great shot, and I look at it, and I'm thinking, yeah, I'm not selling this. I'm holding on to this piece of artwork. I really like it, and Christian had inked it absolutely expertly, and when I look at it, I'm super pleased with it, and it's not a storytelling page other than just a really big moment, and it turned out exactly as I wanted. And as far as the other stuff, you know, like the storytelling, boy, that'd be a good question. It's been a lot of stuff that I've done, and I couldn't even put my finger on it other than the fact that, you know, I'm like mentioning that one shot of Sinestro, you know, holding his wife after the cave-in and Torgar, you know, to me, I was really happy with that. I look at that and I think, wow, I got this emotionally right. But once again, it's a splash page. Storytelling as it is, all kinds of stuff. Just find a good page someplace. Anything that, you know, I enjoy when characters are just talking sometimes and trying to pull it off, back and forth pattern and adding a little facial expression here and there. When that works right, I'm always happy. In fact, a lot of the stuff over the years that I've kept artwork-wise are just conversations between characters.
I definitely can't deny that most of the time it does work out for your art. It's just gorgeous to see in action.
Oh, thanks. You know, give me enough praise and I'm confident I'll be able to get up tomorrow and do it again.
Sounds good.
I respond to it.
Positive reinforcement. It's only water to the history of man.
Yes. You gave me a bone.
I'm curious, outside of Green Lantern, is there any other title you might want to work on with for the long term or just a short run?
Well, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there. I've touched on so many characters, you know, in the DCU. I think sometimes, like when I go back and I look at the stuff that I've done for DC, and I have 17 years worth, basically. When I look back at like my run on JLA, and we did this storyline with Wonder Woman called, I think it was called Golden Perfect or something like that. That was basically Wonder Woman driven, and it would be fun to do a Wonder Woman, you know, story, you know, just stick with her. And everything I've done with her is through the JLA, and to be able to tell Wonder Woman stories, that'd be great. If you wanted to put me more in a humorous vein, of course, you know, I also like to just break things and have laughter, you know, blood and gore. So, you know, Lobo is still out there, and if I ever get a crack at Lobo again, I'll do that. As far as the rest of them, you know, a lot of it ends up, it's not so much the characters as it is the, you know, the story. If you're working with a great story, you know, the characters become instantly enjoyable, and it doesn't matter what it is. They're all good, but I'd say probably, you know, Wonder Woman would be something I would be amiss to say that, you know, I wouldn't like to end up doing something with Wonder Woman at some point.
Oh, I think you'd be great at Wonder Woman. Your style of art, especially with some of the more monstrous creatures, would be great for a Greek mythology set thing where all the monsters of Greek mythology would just be amazing.
Yeah, you grab the right story, and it could be a blast. I mean, that's...
In fact, I've just got the perfect premise for a book now. Wonder Woman and Lobo team up to fight Greek monsters.
There you go. Yeah. See, my idea originally was Lobo and Power Girl. And, you know, you can see where that team up might have some, you know, a few laughs in it. But on the other hand, you know, Diana and, you know, Lobo, yeah, it could work. There might be, you know, there might be a few moments between them, but nothing that'll last, really. I don't think she's his type, really. Or maybe it's the other way around.
It's fitting. It's the wacky guy and the straight man.
Yeah. We don't get enough of that these days, you know. You know, I mean, we've been doing a buddy book, basically, in Green Lantern, you know, for quite a while. You know, Hal and Sinestro.
Yes.
It's I can't say, maybe it's more like, what would be appropriate. It's not Jerry and Jerry, and it's not Dean and Dean. It's I guess it is sort of Dean and Jerry. But they are together nonetheless. They do have, you know, they're
like
still
Dean
together. They're stuck together. You know, now they are in some place where they're in the dark and the gloom, and, you know, Black Hand put them there, and they're up for more adventures, madcap stuff.
I want to say really quickly, we talked about Wonder Woman. Like 2 years ago, Fourth Letter is a blog that Dave Brothers writes, and he actually said word for word, Doug Monkey does one thing better than everyone else, and that's draw Wonder Woman. He has a whole blog post about it. So, if you need a little bit more tagging, set up. Yeah.
That's cool. I appreciate it. Maybe I'll get a chance someday.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be 4 years on Wonder Woman. You never know.
Yeah. Holler. Yeah. His thing was actually his big deal, actually, which is weird, sort of me, is you're drawing Wonder Woman with wet hair. That was his big thing. He was like, that's
like the
official look. Yeah.
Oh, he likes the straight hair, the
particular.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I can do it. But you know, I guess when I did Wonder Woman, I probably did do it a little different than what, you know, like Phil Jimenez was doing at the time or whatever, you know, big, huge, massive. I probably just couldn't draw. I couldn't figure out how to do a great big massive curly ringlets, and so I opted for something different. I did the straight hair, the hippie version of Diana.
Right. She's always sweating, so yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, I like
putting your hair
behind your ear or something like that.
To finish off my line of questioning, I'm not asking for a spoiler or anything, but who would you personally like to see deliver the final blow and the much-deserved ass-kicking the Guardians get coming at the end of this event?
God, you know, who really would deserve it? You know, there isn't anyone who they're going to put through the absolute ringer because of this, so, you know, the Guardians, those gentle little creatures, those lovable fuzzballs. But no, I mean, in a way, you assume it's going to be Hal.
Can it be Kyle?
I don't know.
After what they did to Cancer.
Yeah. What about Sinestro? You know, I mean.
Yeah.
No. We're all looking at this wrong.
Sinestro, you got
to. It has to be Nort. It has to be Nort. Nort is the one.
Nort shows up.
The only underrated Green Lantern ever used should come back and actually win this whole thing for the Giver.
You know what would be better is to go through like old GL, you know, old core pages from Gleason, who would throw in stuff. Like, he's got that Green Lantern that's the cube. It's just a cube that was around. You know, I don't know if it ever became an actual defined character. I'm thinking,
watch.
I'll be great if you just talk about the entire backstory.
It's like a double splash page, and like Cubicus runs past everybody. It's like, no, I will lay the killing blow.
You know, now I see what you guys really do when you're busy together trying to figure this stuff out.
You know, if they could just end it with Kyle Free and Gambit, and then Gambit being like, I brought you this world, I'm going to take you out, and then just single-handedly take down all the other Guardians, that'd just be great.
You know, that's not a bad idea.
Why not?
I don't know if you get what you want, but you can rest assured that that's, you know, at least that stands up as a perfectly suitable ending.
Yeah, only need one Guardian, really. And Gantha's only good enough.
Well, they all came from Gantha, right? I mean, didn't Gantha? I mean, you guys know this stuff better than I do, but you know,
Yeah, that's a good point.
Wasn't there one time that there was just him, right?
Yeah.
And then
like, Kyle and Gath had rebirthed the entire Owen race as two, you know, heterosexual lovers do. And now they should totally take it back. They should totally take this entire thing back.
Well,
yeah.
Seems like a perfect, it's a great story. I can just see it now.
Well, now I'm upset that Cubicus isn't going to get his spot in the light, you know?
There's always room. I mean, there's room.
Yeah,
he'll get a mini. He'll get a mini.
Cubicus. He's your favorite Atlantic man. I'm gonna get a Cubicus tattoo. I've been waiting. I've been trying to figure out what I should get, and I think Cubicus would be it.
Cubicus, yeah.
The greatest lantern you never knew existed.
Like a big, right across your back, like all the other lanterns, just knock to side while Cubicus runs forward. And like a little word bubble, the Cubicus, the bravest of us all.
Yeah.
He could have a tattoo on Cubicus of a dead Muggo saying, I guess cubes are better.
A square, how does it go? A round peg in a square hole? I don't know. you can figure out how to work that somehow. Cubicus.
Yeah, they used to date. Round peg in a square hole, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Ching. That was a really shitty rim shot, but I was trying.
I never knew how to satisfy the other.
Oh, man. The things that they'd missed.
Oh, he was just too square.
All right. Well, we have our last panelist to give you a few questions. Brandon?
Yeah, thanks. We talked a little bit earlier about lateness and your speed and fill-in artists as well. Is the plan still for you to do 6 issues straight and then bring somebody in and give you a slight break for an issue? Because we had Mike Choi on issue 6, I believe, and Renato Gaitis shared duties on 12. Is that the plan going forward?
Well, it certainly is it certainly seems like a sound idea in terms of it's a stress reliever. Sometimes what it comes down to is, is there a script ready? Because it becomes kind of a moot point if we can get 2 scripts, or multiple scripts ahead. You know, if I'm just sitting around twiddling my thumbs, it doesn't do anyone any good. Because when it comes down to it, I'm pretty fast, and you might as well have me do it if it's a choice between one script and 2 artists to do it. I like having a break when it works out in my favor. I don't want to sit idle for any length of time.
Was that the case with issue 6 with Mike Choi?
Yeah, no, I think that we got. Every time when there's been a fill-in, it's been where there's room for it in the schedule, where there's been some type of, where the scripts are backed up enough so that we can have more than one person working on Green Lantern. In a perfect world, that would work out really well. Jeff is a busy guy, and with the way things are going to be coming down, with the Third Army stuff, I'm going to make sure that I'm along for the entire thing. And that's just the long and short of that, because I don't want to miss it.
Good, good. I wrote this question down, but hopefully you're up for it. It's not too disrespectful. So maybe you should probably take a shot of, vodka, whatever you drink, coffee, if that's what you prefer. Do you really see Baz lasting that long? Not even as a Green Lantern, but as a character in a sea of zillions of characters that have gone by the wayside. Do you think he can last that long? I mean, you said yourself it's going to be hard fitting in those human interactions, those somber moments early on. So is it going to be hard or difficult for readers to latch on to him and care before, Jeff says, okay, it's not working and he's gone?
That's a good question. I would say that, every bit of it is going to come down to the writing. And then in the end, moving Baz past, whatever is his initial introduction to to the Green Lantern world. If it just becomes, you know, because you don't want it just sitting in everyone's mind, the moment of origin. You want to move a character past and have them actually function highly as something beyond what brought them to the core, or brought them to Green Lantern. And if you can do that with a character, then it's going to be a success. You know, if it seems like it's a one-trick pony, then it probably would be a problem. I mean, I like the character Baz. I like the design. It plays a lot with, Jeff brought him on for a reason. He didn't introduce him just merely so he could have this character of these qualities. He must have something planned, that the character is going to be pivotal in this, in the story that's coming up. And, if we had to, we set aside, Hal and Sinestro, the two guys that, that are generating the power behind this, the Green Lantern title. And, they're not going to be nowhere. They're being brought in. It's not the first time that they've been, forced underground. But, with Baz, like I said, with as much as coming up, there's got to be a quick and dirty way for us to get past, this first introduction to the character and who he is. And if it can segue nicely into being accepted by, the other characters that surround him and survive that initial, the part of being a young and newly introduced character who has some unique qualities that, make people scratch their heads or question it. If you can get past that and all of a sudden the character's doing good things, I guess then that's when we'll see. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Hopefully that's the case.
I agree with you. I mean, in many respects, I do want to see how bad actually ends up, if he can, go past the whole introduction of being just a new kid on the block. But I do see him. I do want to see more out of the event books, because he's already generated in an event storyline. How much power can he actually have outside of an event storyline? Let's see how that works out.
Yeah. No. Good point. Characters either they stand up or they fall down. You just can't know until you they've been properly tested.
How would you feel about doing if you were if they made Baz the focus of Green Lantern and took away the Adolf and Dean Martin odd couple and put them somewhere else? Would the title still be attractive to you?
Yeah, as long as Baz was doing what he needs to do, it's not like Green Lantern fans haven't weathered some serious some diverse stuff that's been thrown in their direction. Yeah. If anybody in the entire comic book reading world, has more, strength and staying power and passion for characters that are Green Lantern, it's the Green Lantern fans. I mean, they're solid. Do they have to do what they want? Sometimes they wait a long time to get what they're looking for.
They don't tell you.
If you said if all of a sudden everything evaporated and it was just Baz, that'd be pretty weird. that seems like A, so incredibly unlikely. But yeah. B, even if they could, why would they do it? The truth is that's not what the title is built around. It's not just shock, and removal of everything you hold dear. But they do that for a while. Like, how long was it with Hal? I don't know. It was a long time.
Oh, that was like a decade.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about pain and suffering. But, the value is that the core, and once the Guardians get their comeuppance, I don't know what's coming. But they, part of this is that you got all these people who, at the end of the day, the sheriffs of multiple universes and wide and far, and that really the coolest part of Green Lantern to me when I think about it is, it's a science fiction book. You can take it anywhere. And that's what I like about it.
Yeah.
You know, I love off-world stuff. I like going anywhere, you know, and like another trip to Korgar or anything, you know. But there's got to be some new horizons. I mean, that's what's going to be exciting.
Oh yeah, I mean, I should tell you, I'm certainly not afraid of that. I kind of would look forward to a nice sea change like that. But yeah, what they don't tell you is when you buy your first Green Lantern comic, the guy at the comic book store immediately pronounces you wed. You have to admit to the obey, honor, and cherish right away, and you're stuck for life. You don't get any choice in it. Even if I don't like the title, I got to keep reading it. So.
And then, yeah, well, and then, you know, if you do, you know, you look out your window and you see those silhouettes standing out there and the flash of lightning and then they're gone and you go, oh, my gosh.
My gosh.
What have I done?
Yeah, so an ex-commander with...
Honey, pack the kids up. We're going. And she said, you don't understand. You can't escape them.
Better be careful, Green Lantern. Will take out your ball and chain with the ball and chain.
When Rebirth happened, I tried to get a divorce from Green Lantern, and I looked at what the alimony pays to be, and I was like, all right, well, forget it. I guess we'll just
Yeah. Yep. How did that go? What was that from Tony Montoya? Or, no, who said it? And maybe it was from The Godfather. I don't even remember anymore, but, you know, how does it go? Once I get out, and they pull me back.
They pull you right back in. Yeah.
Godfather 3, I think.
Yeah. Was that Godfather 3? Yeah, there I go. I messed it up completely, but you got the point, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Brandon.
Yes, Korgar, actually. Yeah. You told us you enjoyed those moments, and that was, like, the highlight of since the relaunch for me was the scenes on Korgar, the moments with Sinestro and Arsana. Those beautiful stuff right there. Have you ever just felt like calling up Jeff and say, hey, look, I want more of this. Like, I need more of this. This is keeping me up at night because I don't do more of this.
You know, that's a good thing to do. Yeah, you gave me a great idea. Next time I talk to you, I'm serious.
Yeah.
I like to go other places because, I mean, when you think of Green Lanterns, just look at all the types there are. Look at where you could go, you know, imagine the storylines.
I know, you got Cubicus in the corner.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to come from somewhere. You know, something thought that he was worthy of the ring. The ring thought he was, but I know how that stuff works. I'm totally inept where my Green Lantern is.
The only cube on the planet of Tetrahedron, yeah.
He was an unwanted child, is probably what it was. He didn't fit in with the other kids. It'd be cool to do, you know. A lot of what Jeff is, you know, he designs big events and the stuff that he's plans years in advance, and he lays these treasure chests of stuff that he plans to open at different points as he moves through time, and he keeps digging them up and he pulls them out, and sure enough, you know, he's got some great stuff. And could there be some whimsical stories out there that we can tell and just, you know, kind of go, boldly go where no man has gone before, like in the Star Trek series, and just, you know, hit this planet and then that planet, and God, that would be fun, wouldn't it?
I honestly wish Green Lantern was more like a Star Trek show.
Yeah?
That's just me at the time. I'm sorry. You know, having them survey and understand different cultures and stuff like that, just seeing that happen, like, once in a while.
And maybe fight a little crime, too. Like, you know, I feel like there's a lot of Green Lanterns, like, kind of arguing in the clubhouse for the past couple of years, you know. And maybe get out, fight a little crime in some other planets and stuff.
Yeah, because there's got to be something going on somewhere else.
Yeah, that nobody, like, somewhere, every time they go somewhere, like, oh, we heard there was a break-in, and there's another guy with another color ring, you know. Like, I'm the Fuchsia Lantern. Oh, shit, come on, we just got out of it.
Just give me a chance.
Yeah, so there was obviously, editorial shift on the Lantern books. Eddie Baganza and Adam Schlagman were there, I think, for the first 2 years you were there. And then I think Sean Makowitz, who I'm probably butchering his name, is on New Guardians and Red Lanterns. And I think now you guys are working with Matt Idelson and Will Moss.
I'd worked with Brian Cunningham before this.
Right, right. Has that been difficult for you?
No, they're all top-notch guys, and I mean, for example, at Braganza, Eddie and I go way back. You know, we'd worked many, quite a bit years before, and so I'd kept up with Eddie, and Eddie'd kept up with me. You know, I mean, I watched his kids grow up via, just communication. So I mean, many years, that I've known Eddie, and then Brian was great. Coming into the maniacal schedule that we had on Blackest Night, and then for any editor to roll into that, it's a tall order, And then once again, after we've done that for a while, then an editorial shift, and Matt is great. I mean, all these guys, they take good care of it all. And considering what we have to go through to get the books done, the editors are as much the heroes of this stuff as anybody. They make it happen, and they when a book needs to be put together, the extra hours are put in by them.
Was there a reason for these changes, or is it just usual office politics?
Internally, I don't really question it,
right,
because that's just DC's business, and I don't think there was anything obtuse or anything that was like a problem. It was maybe people just needed, needed a change, and that was just the way to go. There was no, I've never been an editor, so I don't know what it's like to work on new titles and to work with the talent. And I imagine it's nice to change things up at times. And I enjoy working with these guys. And when you stop working with them, a little hole is left. And what gets filled up, and then you develop a relationship with the next editor, and it just keeps rolling on. I mean, it's 17 years of working with DC. I've worked with a lot of people, and some have come and gone, and some have been there from the beginning, or others, like Carlin has gone out to the West Coast, and it's been a great experience, but I've watched it entirely from my, from my perspective, from my home. But I've even been to New York,
Wow.
I've never been to the offices. I've never been to D.C. I'm always drawing. It's not
you
like
should come down.
Get away.
I'll give you a tour.
Hey, somehow I'm going to get there sooner or later. I actually drove all the way to New York, but I didn't go to the city because I ran out of money. I think it was a sound decision. I was just a kid. And I made it as far as the Catskills, and I had a friend that lived there, so I was cooling my Jetta for a month, and I was going to get a job, and all the factories closed down at that point, so I didn't have any money, so I just went back home eventually. But I did make what I considered a very prudent decision, that is, you don't go into New York City with no money in your pocket.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. I knew it was expensive, and I wasn't gonna risk anything. It's not like I had, had nothing with me, I was going to go and try to like get into comics or something, and I'm kind of glad I didn't do that. But sooner or later I'll get out there. I'll probably go out there and go, okay, time to go home. I'm trying to get to work.
All right. Well, they're giving me the wrap-up signal. They're telling me that I talk too slow and my questions are boring.
What the hell? Don't take that from those guys. I mean,
yeah, I clearly am not telling that at all.
So I guess,
good man. He should be talking.
Last question.
Sure.
Lucky for you, it's not Green Lantern related. I get the feeling that you're a vodka guy, and a few of us are drinkers. Some of us are losers that don't drink.
I'm a vodka guy, absolutely.
What's your drink of choice?
Some of us are drunks, apparently.
Wait. Jameson's whiskey.
Oh, thank you.
Vodka. Yeah,
seriously, vodka. Come on.
When I was a kid, okay, it's true. All right, I was a kid at one time, and we used to. And I don't recommend this, and if anyone who's young and impressionable is listening or will hear this, don't ever do what I did. That's not the point. The point is historical. The point is, you know, it's just a matter of truth. We would take vodka and we mix it with apple juice, and then we would take it to school. And you know, sometimes it just got you through your day. And frankly, you know, I mean, vodka doesn't smell like anything anyway. But you mix it with apple juice, there's not a teacher who thinks anything.
You can't smell it. Yeah, absolutely.
No. It doesn't show up on your breath. Nothing. Yeah. Like I said, it doesn't come recommended. Education's important. Nobody drink at school. None of that business. And blah, blah, blah. But, and I'm perfectly...
Wait, you mean we can't drink and drive?
I'm not even sure which is more dangerous, drinking and driving or texting and driving. I'm sure that they both equally.
Well, I mean, accident wise, it's still drinking, but it's not a large enough percentage difference that it's like you don't have to do one or the other. It's only,
you know. Well, I'm definitely not for drinking and driving, but I become very aware of watching people, you know, text while driving and. You know, blast through an intersection and look up and not realize, or maybe they do, that they, you know, they could have taken out half a dozen cars if it wasn't for everybody else looking. So that's my public service announcement.
What a terrible way to end the show.
No, let's do it on a positive note. Let's go back to vodka or Jameson's whiskey.
Yeah. Because
there are plus sides. There's always a plus side. To an appropriate amount of alcohol, right?
Oh, yeah.
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 There is no such thing as a limit.
I can't say it's never happened, because I know, like, up at the studio a couple times, Pat and I would, I think we uncorked a bottle of wine and we drank a bit while we were working. But, you know, you have to kind of put a cap on that one.
Yeah.
Coffee is the real work generator. Coffee can get it done. Coffee with vodka, I don't know if they cancel each other out. They might smooth out one or the other. But definitely, a lot gets done because of coffee.
I'll tell you what, you make it out to San Diego Comic Con, I'll gladly treat you to a round or two, and we'll go from there. We'll see. What kind of shenanigans we can get into.
The type, hopefully, that we don't necessarily have to remember the next day.
Those are the best.
There's some of there exist pictures of Brandon that
only condones alcohol. Only condones apple juice and alcohol up until grade 5. Is that what we're saying?
No, it was 9th grade. It wasn't anything before that. Just 9th and 10th grade. You know, then it just wasn't as fashionable after then.
Yeah, it's fucking hilarious. Yeah.
How were they not suspicious of a kid not drinking apple juice? That should have been the first clue.
Yeah.
Get a kid like Dr. Pepper or Mountain Dew or something.
This guy must be a health nut. Yeah.
Well, I come from a different time, you know. Back then, you know, we could put apple juice in a wine skin and bring it to school. I don't know. Nobody looked at it sideways here in Minnesota. Nobody cared.
I mean, clearly with a wine skin.
This is going to be a really awkward question.
Sure.
As someone that's never been in Minnesota, how awesome is the Mall of America?
Well, you want to know what? It's a big ass mall. I'll tell you that much. I know someplace there's a bigger one. I think it's up in somewhere in Canada. Like there's a mall so big it pulls the moon closer specifically. To something like that. But the Mall of America, you know what? As goofy as it sounds, and as commercial as the whole place is, which is, you know, it's in the business to sell. It is really a marvel, and it's easy to. It's near the airport, so a lot of people come fly in. They go to the Mall of America, you know, drop a few bucks, or you know, go eat at a restaurant, and you could do something worse with your time in Minnesota. I don't get down there very often. But it's a destination. It's like, I don't know. It's big. It's like a mile across or something. You can't take it lightly. It really is a gigantic structure. And it's got its own little amusement park inside, and probably every store you could want to hang out in.
Here's another awkward question. It may just end up being a comment, but I watch the Mighty Duck movies like every weekend.
Here we go.
And it was, I think there was a scene in the second one that was filmed in the Mall of America. I was just wondering, does anybody walk around Minnesota just like, oh man, those Mighty Duck movies, I remember when they were filmed and it was so awesome.
I can answer that for you.
You're
wrong, man. Anything that Minnesota's been a part of, I guarantee you somewhere somebody's going, oh yes, Ford, do you remember that duck movie? Yes. Yeah, sure.
Okay,
you'll know Brandon when you see him in San Diego. He sees a guy with a Mighty Duck sketchbook passing around all the specials.
Right, well, I've embarrassed myself enough. We can wrap it up.
That was a really tricky question.
Yeah, can I just ask, if you do end up drawing Simon Baz's gun, don't draw a Desert Eagle, just draw a Glock. I mean, you know, don't make it more complicated than this. Sir. That's my only request.
Yeah, I wouldn't get, I mean, a Desert Eagle, I'd just, you know, be as long as his leg. he's got a, you know, he has such something nice and compact.
Why can't it just be a classic revolver like a .44?
No revolver.
No revolver. That would be really something to see him sitting there loading his
gun. Loading a bullet at
time. No, he's got Green Lantern powers. He just flips the thing out, wills bullets in, flips it back.
You know what? I guess that is a good point.
It would be easier to reload because you just will together just bullets instead of willing a clip.
I just thought the whole thing is when he runs out of power, he gets to use his gun. If he has a revolver that's like, he's got six shots and he's done, who's he going to kill with six shots that he fought? Have you ever seen a Green Lantern fight anybody that a gun's going to kill in the first place, besides maybe these third army guys? Maybe they're allergic.
Sonar or something.
If you want to see the Dirty Harry of Green Lantern, let him.
Yeah. It's like there's some big-ass monster right in front of him, and he's just going, you know, that fire. Six shots are only five. Yeah, all that excitement. Yeah. It takes a few. We'll just have to wait and see what that gun is for.
You've officially made peace. Now I'm gonna read every single dialogue for him in that voice, in that Dirty Harry voice.
If I could sneak in one little question here, though.
Go ahead, Andrew.
Do you see the Baz costume like evolving over time as things?
No, I don't know. I think I like it the way it is. You know, with any costume, you kind of fine tune as you start to work with angles. And frankly, I've already started doing that. You know, because like some of the piping up along the neck and that runs up into the, you know, around the back. And even though it's cool the way it connects, sometimes it just doesn't work from certain angles and it's a little distracting. So I'm kind of downplaying that.
Sometimes he's got somebody already has a belt. Some guys are on with belts. Some guys are on with no belt and stuff like that, and clips and stuff.
I'm not worried about that stuff yet until that gun shows up on his hip. Let me put it that way. I think I might have already drawn it, like something with a belt on the back. I mean, at the end, you know, there's always some expectation that people are going to interpret things. And it sometimes when I think, you know, a lot of the fans are going to notice everything, and then I don't do something, and it just gets passed by. And I think a lot of worried about that too much. You know, in the case of Baz's costume, you know, you could, I want the costume, I mean, originally as it was, you know, to have lots of black. And so it just absorbs, you know, the color and the stuff that the green and you know, from the shoulders to the chest, the way that it is, you know, to be the focus. And then, you know, if it gets too detail-y, you know, I'm not interested in that. You know, I want the costume simplicity at this point to stand up as much as possible.
Yeah. If anything, pop the black out more. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing more blacker blacks, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
That makes any sense, yeah.
More blacker blacks, more greener green. And, you know, like, I don't know, I'm sure it's gonna evolve over time, and you know, the more people draw it and get the feel for really, oh, this is how it looks best, or, you know, this is what you can do with this angle, or, you know, because no matter what, like the simplest costume, you know, like what Hal has, really works well from every angle. You know, there's nothing about it that is disturbing or tough to draw. You know, you can just do it. When you do something like what Bass has, you know, there's a little bit more gymnastics going along to try to make it fluid and not look awkward if you got an angle that hasn't been done before. And
right.
So you gotta kind of interpret it and not just play absolutely hard with the edges of the costume, because otherwise it could look, you know, it might look weird. So, you know, as long as people don't think, oh, it's got to be exactly this way with exactly these lines, exactly in this spot, you know, this is comics, you know, we got to make, the idea is to make things look good, and not awkward, you know, so take that for what it's worth.
Well, there's only going to be like a few, I'm going to ask you this like one question, because, you know, we barely really touched upon it. The Third Army. So pretty much, like, you know, it's coming up. How big of an event do you think this is going to be? And seeing that already Jeff Johnson already said that this isn't going to be an event, it's just an event leads to another event. How big do you think this whole little, like, you know, like short event that we're getting is going to be? Will it have any real drastic change? Like, you don't really have to spoil anything. You can just give us your impressions of it.
I don't know. Since I don't know anything beyond the momentum that we got going, I mean, the outlines that I get for the future are, you know, believe it or not, are pretty vague. So, you know, I have to look at everything as, you know, this is just supposed to be big and building to something big on its own right. If it's an event that, you know, that, you know, like bumps into another event and builds upon, you know, building into a greater event, you know, it just gotta, from my perspective, it's sit down and make what I'm doing as pivotal and big as I can. And, you know, and since I truly, honestly, I know in a vague way what's going to happen in the future. I don't know in a definite way so that I can say that I understand the events. And it's probably good that they don't tell me, because, you know, I'd get on something like this and then I just blab everything because I wouldn't know what I'm not supposed to say. So, you know, DC plays it really smart by not telling you, you know, everything. All that dog.
Hey, we're really trustworthy guys. You can tell them. You can tell them you anything to tell us.
Yeah, this is actually nice.
Keep on their list.
You know what's cool? It's like when people ask me for spoilers, and I can actually honestly say, I don't know. I don't know. Nobody's told me.
Right.
You know, and since I'm not busy asking, and it's funny because, you know, Jeff and I, you know, my life has been so busy over the last year. I actually don't think Jeff and I talked once. I mean, we tried. He'd be, you know, he'd text me and say, it's a good time to talk. And no, it wasn't. And I'd text him back, you know, hey, how about now? And, you know, he'd be busy. What about it, you know, tomorrow at 7? No, I'm busy then because, you know, I got family stuff to take care of. And so we finally connected. And so we're going to focus on getting together and talking, you know, while, you know, at least every month about a book, you know, the books that we're working on. And as far as, you know, the long range stuff, though, I really don't know. I don't know what happens after this. I just know that it's something bigger.
And Jeff at this point, you guys are, he's pretty much still in it for the long haul, as he's been the last couple of years.
Yeah. I mean, look at what the guy's been doing all this time.
Yeah.
I mean, you cut him and he bleeds Green Lantern, you know, he loves his stuff.
Yeah. Well, I think he's about the only major guy we haven't gotten on the show at this point.
He's still avoiding us like a plague.
Probably not like a plague. You know, maybe just like a really busy guy. Have you guys had any contact with him at all? I mean, has any? Clearly, you probably tried.
Just for a couple of years, you know.
Yeah, that's nothing in this world.
Yeah, we're not as desperate as we sound, but we have messages. Yeah.
You never know. You never know what. You know, send money. Try that. That might
help. Well,
yeah, you know what you could do? You could start one of those Kickstarter programs.
We need
$2 million, and then you just raise all the
time. We need $2 million for at least an hour of his time.
And then anybody who's silly enough to donate, we get to keep the money anyway, so we're winning in.
Nobody's silly when they donate to this stuff. Don't you?
Oh, right.
Nobody is. It's all above board, and it's, you know, it's people parting with their money for good reason, right?
Good reason.
Well, I want to ask one more question. Doug, do you read any comics yourself every month, or are you kind of swamped and you're just kind of DC deluged?
Yeah, I get all the DC stuff. I mean, they send me everything. Whether or not I read it, I break them open. And, you know, I mean, early in the conversation, it takes forever for me to find an opportunity to sit down and read a comic.
Yeah.
I mean, the last comic that, you know, it's, I read Pat's, I just call it Pat's, but of course that's not right. It's, you know, it's Pat and Pete's, Batman and Robin.
Right.
You know, I have no trouble remembering to read that. You know, I have a stack of books that I have set aside that I want to read. And then, I got Bloodshot. Is that what it's called? Wait, what's it called? No. Who's that assassin? Bob Liefeld's assassin. I did. It's not Bloodshot. What is it? Guy. Come on. You guys help me. You guys read comics.
Honestly, I'm not here.
Total blank. Hold on. Just sit right there. I'll be right back. Just sit there.
It's Deadpool. I'm pretty sure it's Deadpool.
I think you ran to get it in the book.
He did not hang up on us, ladies and gentlemen. He definitely did not hang up on us.
See, I'm back.
Is it Deadpool?
You guys hang up on me yet? Deathstroke.
Deathstroke.
Deathstroke. Oh, Deathstroke. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. There. See? I do read comics. And then, What'll generally happen is I'll go through the comps and I'll pick up stuff and I just let it pile up and then one day when I literally can't stand any longer, I'll sit down and I'll read a bunch of comics. And mostly, you know, it's a way to get caught up to some degree, and I'm never on top of it all. You know, like it took me a long time before I read like the relaunch of JLA, for instance. I would see it because I had to know, you know, I was looking at how things were drawn, you know, Jim's interpretation of Hal, for instance, or things that would be useful for me in the book. But at the end of the day, I'm looking for single issues that catch my eye, and you know, where I'll see some cover, some art, and not following the story as much as just wanting to sit down and look at what other people are doing and appreciate it. And you know, I fail to follow any single story for more than just a few issues. And I'm always reading Green Lantern, so there you go.
Well, Doug, we've had you here for about like 2 hours, and I'm grateful. You know, and
wait 2 hours.
Yeah. So
I think it's actually only about a third as long as the last time we had you on.
Yeah. It's been 2 years.
We had a lot to catch up on.
Yeah, well, it's not.
Yeah, it took us 2 years to cut it in half. So maybe next time you're on, we'll keep you on.
Yeah, you know, we could do it. We could do it like a marathon 6-hour session, I guess. By the end, you guys will have one more question. There'll be no more. One more question.
You think that? Question.
That sounds like a challenge.
Come on, you guys. Don't you have anything to ask me? We still got like
why doesn't Bad have
4 hours left?
No, I think Bad should have more neon piping. I think he should have more neon.
How does he shit cover his ears? Ridiculous. No, I don't know what that is.
Let's see. What can we do? Neon piping. Yeah. Okay. Got it.
Give him a cake.
Let's give him a gun on each side.
Okay, give him a gun, give him a cape. Make him hit on Wonder Woman all day.
I've already done that, though. That was Plastic Man's job. Plastic Man got
right.
All the time. And I don't know if she likes that very much. Or isn't she like... Now, her and Superman have a thing now, right?
Yeah.
I read it in a book. I will say it was just a passing moment.
Oh, wow.
It might be a long running thing for the time being. I have no idea. You know what? You'll be bad. Have Bad hit on Superman. Have that be the next thing.
Yeah, we'll see how long that would last.
All right, Doug. All right, we'll wrap this up here. I'm glad we had you on the show.
Come on, there's got to be one more question, right? I'm just kidding.
He's asked you for it. Lay it out.
All right, anybody have anything else to add?
Everyone's going, please just let me go. Please let me go.
No, don't get me wrong. I would love to keep you here longer, but...
Yeah, no, they're actually cutting me off, so... Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I suppose I should, like, draw a little bit more tonight. And, you know, I could have done something productive.
Do we ever get to see your cowgirl?
See my what?
Cowgirl? Maybe that answers my question.
There's a character.
Oh, her. Yeah, good question. Whatever happened to her?
She got retconned out of existence, I'm pretty sure.
Exists, man, yeah. She went to go hang out with Stephanie Brown and all those other Wally West and all those other characters aren't there anymore.
That's not just how it goes. Oh, you get to somebody and then bang.
It's
continuity. And then you have to just lobby and lobby and lobby before they come back.
Oh, yeah. We want Stephanie Brown back. Yeah, that's never going to happen.
I think we all miss Wally more than anybody, but yeah.
Jesus, you know, there's got to be more than a few characters who've had to just go to the side.
Yeah. Like Nort, where the fuck is Nort?
How about your evil star? Do we see your evil star?
My what?
Evil star.
What is it?
Evil star. I completely forgot about evil star.
It was like an awful...
Now I'm being just played by a bunch of, like, wise and Green Lantern people.
Yeah,
see what Doug doesn't know. Watch
I'm pretty sure you drew him during Blackest Night.
Did I?
A couple of panels, like a flash forward of events to come, and you saw Evil Star like a revisionist take on what he was doing in the first arc of Green Lantern, the last volume, when he was messing with Black Hand, dissecting him a little bit.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah.
Now I remember what you're talking about. Good question.
Did we see him?
I think
for like years.
Andrew's trying to think of all the forgotten Green Lantern characters that sound.
But they John's even foreshadowed using Evil Star. That nothing.
No, I don't care about Evil Star.
You want to know the real reason? I have to let you guys go. Is because I've been sitting in a room. I went downstairs to where I could use the other phone, but we just had the carpet clean today. So I realized I've been lying on this carpet. You know, I've been sitting, lying, I'm moving all around, you know, just trying to be comfortable while I'm talking. And I'm soaking up the clue on the carpet. Bit by bit, little by little, I become like saturated with a carpet cleaner. Now, this may have an effect on Green Lantern drawing. Like, if I suddenly start drawing, like, everything just falls apart, you'll know it was a carpet cleaner.
maybe you'll create a new art style where the soaked-in carpet glue will alter your art just in a certain way that will make it a timeless masterpiece.
You're saying that.
You know what? Now, now this will be the new DC hero. Nobody's thought this before. Like, heroes have been made out of all kinds of stuff, but never one because they absorb carpet cleaner. Well, it's been fun. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you very much for being on the show.
Take care. Bye.
Have a good night.
Be sure to check us out at www.thegreenlanterncorps.com.
You can also email us at contact@thegreenlanterncorps.com.
You can follow us on Twitter at @theGLCorps.
And be sure to check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/GLSpotlight.
You can reach our voicemail line at 313-GL1-2814. That's 313-451-2814.
Thanks for listening, and check us out next time, and please stop masturbating when I'm talking to you.
Be sure to check out Kirby Crackle, performers of our opening theme, Ring Capacity, at www.kirbycracklemusic.com. Also check out the Roy Clark Method, performers of our ending theme, Sector 2814, at freeweb.com/Roy Clark Method.
This magic green, it is the color green, it can do anything. Sometimes it speaks to me and says, how, what have you done with your life?